Good morning. Today is Thursday, December 12th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
Good morning, Brian.
Morning. Well, okay. Do you want to
play?
There you go. Okay.
I was trying to look for something that would fit the holiday, so I'm going to give you a big old softball.
Oh, good.
Why?
Soft snowball?
Right. Should have said that.
Okay.
Why do we say Santa Claus? How did Santa Claus get his name?
Well, okay, those are some of the stories of Christmas that are running. I think I heard it yesterday. One version is St. Nicholas, and the other was, I think, Belgian.
Very good. So the term comes from the Dutch dialect name for St. Nicholas, which is Sint Claus. St. Nicholas is the patron saint of children, and in Holland, gifts were once given to children in his name and on his day, which is shortly before Christmas. In time, this custom was transferred to Christmas and expanded to include gifts for all. St. Nicholas is also the patron saint of scholars, travelers, sailors, and pawnbrokers.
Pawnbrokers. All righty.
There you go.
Now, I knew about the traveler part.
Yes.
But I did not realize the pawnbrokers had their very own patron saint.
That's right.
Wow. I wonder how the Pope pulled that one together.
Sounds like a lot of people go there the day after Christmas.
Yeah, I was thinking, I hope it really doesn't have anything to do with gold or some of the things we find in the church.
Yes.
Oh, my. So here we are, December. Any let up in the action?
No. No, I just, you know,
it's going to be a long show if that's what you say.
Yeah. I like to be very succinct, Brian. You know,
boom, right on point.
Oh. I'm the person that doesn't fit my career. I'm more short on words than the average lawyer. So.
Yeah. Your nursery rhymes must have been really interesting growing up.
Well, I was one of seven, so being able to get in, get what you needed to say, said, and get
Hansel
out
and Gretel,
was important.
Breadcrumbs, eaten.
Right.
They're okay.
Perfect.
Well, let's step back just a tad then. Christmas holiday season, obviously there's a lot of different activities going on this time of the year in the general community. Do you guys see a shift or a change in the type of activities that are presented to you? I mean, we heard about the porch guy, was it yesterday, I guess.
Right. You know what's interesting? I just saw, and I'm going to look into whether or not it's actually pending or was it, you know, something that was discussed and didn't pass, but the legislators discussed making that a felony, stealing boxes that had just been delivered, you know, from people's porches.
I thought going into the mailbox was a federal offense. You know, so when people were grabbing checks
right,
in the old days or mail.
Right, but we don't really usually, you know, see the feds taking those. And so the idea is it's you know, unfortunately, it's just a petty theft. So trying to carve that out, because obviously it's a major issue for people. And I appreciate it. I saw Eureka Police Department put out, I can't remember if I heard it on the radio or if I read it somewhere, but talking about some of the points to avoid that, you know, simple as having the packages delivered to your work, if they'll allow that, to having your neighbor who maybe's home be the person that you have those go to. Because it's just, it's wrong to, you know, pay all that money, have something delivered, and then have it be taken.
Well, it just kind of sits there like with a little glowing orb saying, look at me.
Right.
Look at me.
Right.
And it's, I understand the delivery guys have got a little bit of a challenge too, but we've had some, you know, we've got one of those little parky benchy things on the front porch, and they kind of, this is stupid, me talking about what they do. Let's just say, you know, things aren't left out in the open.
Right.
But when things get busy, you know, came home one night and was just sitting there on the middle of the steps. I mean, it was a small one, so nobody picked it up or anything, but I was thinking, you know, if it was something of larger size, why wouldn't you want to have it delivered to the house?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, to the business instead of the house.
Right.
Or
if
at least tuck it around the corner.
If your work will allow it. That's, you know, I think that's the critical issue, because, you know.
Do you have an issue with it?
No, not at all.
I've never, other than, like, live animals.
Right.
Something
right.
really weird. I've not run into anybody who would have an issue with.
Right.
I just would. One, I want to make sure that it showed up. Two, I want to maybe peek at it. Just native curiosity. I don't open Christmas presents early, though. I don't rattle
me neither.
Either. But, you know, if I'm looking for puzzles, so that's different. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, how much is the law mercurial? How's that for a fancy? I want to make sure I get all the syllables in there.
That matches your shirt today.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's Christmas party day out here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's interesting because I think that's what we really see over time, you know. And so, for example, with me having been in this business for decades, I've really seen the pendulum swing and respond to issues, and then that sort of dies down, and then it sort of goes back.
Kind of like the crime du jour of the decade.
Right.
And then it goes moves to something else, and it's like, well, is the other less now?
Yes.
Or are we just chasing the new shiny ball?
Yeah. And so there are some, literally, I can be at an event and someone will come up to me and start talking about one of the, as you refer to it, crime du jour. And I think the public perception is almost as if this is a new crime. And I'll explain to them, we've always had that. You know, it just kind of was understood, you know, sort of under a different name. And now that it's...
Or pursued as aggressively.
Right, right.
Which is really weird, because you'd think that it was, you know, across the board. You know, if it's on the books, it's on the books. Thank you very much, and that's it. And maybe it is, and maybe it's not.
Right.
When you start to see those trends of areas that either people want to have prosecuted or the state is suggesting be prosecuted on a more vigorous basis. See, I could have been a lawyer. Do you recoil and say, wait a minute, you know, this is bad, everything is, you know, these things are bad. Now we have gradations, but the bad category is still the bad category. Don't tell me to go after the murderers instead of the rapists a little bit more aggressively because you're getting a little heat in Sacramento. I don't think so. You know, we're going to get the bad guys, whoever they are and whatever stripes they come in.
Right. I have to say, that is kind of how we are. We're just pretty consistent trying to go after the most significant crimes and what impacts our community the most. What I think is always interesting is anytime we have one of those sort of, oh, now this is the target crime, immediately the question is, can you give us your data? And that's a difficult one, right? Because, you know, for example, every year we have to report to the state how many hate crimes we have charged. And
isn't every crime a hate crime to one extent or another?
Well, it's a specific legal definition.
I understand.
So,
but
right,
so, I mean, so that's another thing that just kind of gets thrown around, and a lot of us outside kind of go, huh?
Yes.
You know, it's like mental, mental incapacity.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah, normal people don't murder people. That's not a normal thing.
Right, so by but that's not
functional definition,
yes,
aren't you?
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, that's standard. Do the standards change? Do the definitions change over
Sometimes they can. I mean, particularly with hate crime, obviously, it's the categories have gotten broader as our society has recognized there are other groups of people that are potentially the targets of these types of crimes. So that's one area. The other issue is that sometimes when there's a lot of public interest in a specific area, the penalties can go up. I mean, I know we've talked in the past specifically with driving under the influence.
Yeah, drunk driving, mad.
Right.
That chapter was roaring around. Yeah, that was the crime you didn't want to get close to.
And the penalties. And then, you know, obviously over time, what we've seen is for those people who have a prior or priors if they commit a homicide, a vehicular homicide, while intoxicated. It can now be charged as murder, which was never before the case. I mean, that was something that happened, I'm going to say, in the 90s, because I remember being in Contra Costa, and we tried one of the first one of those, and it was a major deal to sort of look at this person in a different category. One area that I think is sort of unfortunate is our legislators had the opportunity recently to change the significance of priors for driving under the influence, and they chose not to. And in part, they got down this road of discussing, well, isn't really the people who are committing this suffering from an abuse issue, and shouldn't we be treating it that way? And the difference for, I would say, most of society when they look at that is the abuse issue is separate and apart from the fact someone's getting behind the wheel of a car. You know, if you're an alcoholic, that's different. You can stay home and have that issue. But once you're behind the wheel of a car and you are, in fact, you know, a very significant deadly harm person to the community, then we change how we view that.
Well, you start connecting dots like that, well, then every crime is going to be one that you don't prosecute because it's sourced from something that everybody finds egregious.
Right. So, and then the concern, too, is recently the legislators voted to take away prison priors, which could only be, it's a one-year enhancement, and it could only be done if the person had been to prison within 5 years or had never ever had a five-year free period. So we could have a prison prior from 7 years ago, but then if they went back to prison at 5 years and back to prison at 3 years, we could tack those on. I just recently charged a case with someone who has a number of felony driving under the influence cases.
That would imply a big number.
Well, the key is you can't, it's not a felony until you have three priors. So to get to felony means it's your fourth, and then to just keep having more of those and more of those. He's been to prison a number of times. I can't use those enhancements anymore because our legislators got rid of that, which is unfortunate because for me, this is exactly the type of person we want to treat differently than all the others in that category.
Yeah, it's kind of like the stereotype.
Right.
There it is in front of you, and you can't, your hands are tied.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Talk Shop is presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Maggie, there's a lot of discussion about impeachment all over the place now. But one of the things that I heard early on was that the impeachment of judges happens. You never hear about it because it's not that exciting and there's not that many people that are... it's not going to lead because most of the community isn't impacted by it, et cetera, et cetera, and you can't use it to whip up public fervor. How often does a judge get impeached?
You know, Brian, that's a really good question. I can't think of it happening in Humboldt County, and I do know after I first moved here, we had a judge in Contra Costa County that was removed through the process. So, you know, obviously the judicial committee that looks at judicial behavior receives complaints. They do their investigation, and then they make a determination.
So is that based, like, on rulings? Or if somebody's a little eccentric and people say, well, somebody that does that shouldn't be sitting in judgment of others?
I don't know that I can think of a time when it's been done by rulings. There's so much judicial discretion that, you know, sort of as long as they utter a certain sentence about why they're making their decision, it's almost going to be, you know, rock solid.
Almost intelligible in English. Yeah.
But where we see it is their behavior. So they're making inappropriate statements. Sometimes it's the way they're talking to jurors that cause jurors to be shocked. Sometimes it's the way they're talking to the attorneys who are in front of them. And then sometimes, of course, there's the sort of, well, actually, it's both things. It's the behavior towards their staff, or it can be their behavior, you know, something they've done on their off time. So those are...
Do they have to be above reproach?
They
I mean, is it Caesar's wife?
You would hope. you would hope, but...
Well, okay, maybe you need to phrase that one slightly different, but you got the picture.
Yeah. So it's interesting. There was recently another judge, and I'm thinking it was sort of the L.A. area because I was following it in the news, about the number of things he had said between staff and attorneys, and then even to a California Highway Patrol person, that just the overall picture was pretty shocking. You know, really just sort of the behavior that it wasn't just inappropriate for a judge. It would be inappropriate for anyone to be behaving that way.
So really just riding off the rails entirely.
So, and he chose to fight it, and maybe that's why it made the news, you know, because they were bringing the witnesses in and each one was being cross-examined and questioned. And so it was sort of interesting to watch because it is so rare.
Yeah, the one that I think of, but not to that extent, was Rose Byrd and the whole Rose Byrd court and voting out. But that was the voting,
that was the
electoral process,
right.
and we ends doing it, not a process doing it.
Right.
Is there judicial review?
There is, in the sense that their decisions can be appealed, and so there's an appellate court reviewing, but I don't know of anything beyond that, other than, as I say, if there is a complaint filed, then there will be a review.
I mean, over the years with all, I don't know, what, four or five DAs that have appeared on this show, I mean, there's certainly those that people enjoy personally. There are those that, yeah, you probably don't run in the same circles with. Okay. But it's never gotten to the point of, and I would suspect incompetency is kind of an image that we could use as grounds for impeachment, unless it's a criminal activity, obviously. Never heard anybody doing that, but you know, it's kind of like the lawsuits that the county settles and nobody knows anything about.
Right.
You know that there's a lot of money going out the side door, but nobody's able to talk about it, and you can't even find out how much that figure is, let alone any of the details. So it sounds to me like it's a lot of trust factor too. We trust the people who are in regular contact, and if they're okay, then we have to be okay.
You know, I think that's a good sort of way to see it. What's interesting is the fact that we maybe all disagree as to what the outcome should be, but whether or not that's evidence of incompetency. And that, I think, is sort of the, you know, to just say, well, I don't agree with the ruling is not by any means a suggestion that the person was incompetent when making that ruling. It was... they exercise their discretion in a way that I didn't feel was appropriate, or the other side didn't feel was appropriate. I mean, obviously.
Well, and that's a snapshot.
Right.
Rather than a trend.
Yes.
You know, I was smiling because I had my response. Well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Probably don't want that one on the legal documentation.
And here you were telling me you could have been a lawyer.
Yeah,
you
know? Well, you see, there's in courtroom and then there's out in the hallway.
Right. But I had a great boss. He was hilarious in Contra Costa County, and he really was one of the best prosecutors I've ever known. Super bright guy, super hardworking, and he really cared. And he tried some incredibly tough cases. But he was in front of a judge one time, and this judge really was just off the rails. And my friend's response at one point was to hold up his evidence code and say, I'm using this one. Can I ask what one are you using? And the judge got up and walked off the bench because he decided they couldn't possibly be having a conversation at that point. But I remember I just thought that was so perfect.
Was that in court or was that?
That was in court.
Oh, okay.
That was just his level of frustration with, he was trying so hard to make sure that the jury was going to get all the evidence he believed they should receive in the trial. And the judge just kept knocking everything out. And that's a level that sometimes you get to because it's so frustrating.
But that's still not incompetence.
No, it's there. It's so fascinating because we have so many rules. But then, of course, ultimately, there's this one code section that provides that evidence that is more probative than prejudicial. And so it's that sort of balancing that a judge gets to take. And so obviously, depending on which judge you're in front of, they can say...
Their line moves.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep all that out. I feel that it's just, you know, it shouldn't be before the jury. And sometimes it's really... I mean, for me, in sexual assault cases, a lot of times it was the defendant's prior acts that were virtually identical to this one.
The
you
trends.
Know? So, yeah. So when you have, you know, a victim who's very... may not be the most credible person. For example, I had a woman who was a prostitute who'd been raped. The fact that this man was a serial rapist, I thought was very pertinent and something that a juror should hear. And that was a week-long battle with the judge, who ultimately let it in. But, you know, every day he was balancing. Is that something that should be before this jury?
I've always kind of smiled when I hear prejudicial. Isn't that what you're trying to accomplish? That's
right.
The goal.
Right.
Well, of course this is prejudicial. We want
right.
them to be... Probably. Yeah, maybe it's good I'm in radio. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:48. Couple minutes remaining with Maggie this morning. The concept of impeaching a judge, is it something only that the legal community can do? Or let's say a neighbor who might be a nail bender, you know, totally unrelated, start seeing Judge Bob acting a little
right.
unique.
So people can, citizens, anyone can actually reach out to file the complaints. So it's, you know, there's a website, California Judicial. I can't think of the full name, but if you go on there, there's different categories of things you can do. And so anyone.
So you wouldn't call the local DA. You have to go to
no.
the state level.
Yeah,
to,
you'd have to go to the state level.
Right, or AG.
Unless it was criminal, obviously, then you would report it to your law enforcement agency.
Yeah. Walking around, staggering around at night in the middle of the street in a nightgown.
That's starting to sound criminal to me. So.
Well, it might be depending on who the individual is.
And, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's like Speedos. Yeah, for some people, that they're wearing a Speedo is a criminal offense. We understand. Got you, didn't I?
It's too early in the morning, brother. I have to go to work now and do the rest
yeah,
of my stuff.
Yeah. So. You'd be looking at everybody wondering,
stop,
would they
please.
Qualify? Oh, gee. Well, hopefully you'll get a little bit of a respite over the 2 weeks with Christmas
That's
and
right.
New Year's and be
yeah.
able to kind of maintain sanity and perhaps purge this program out of your system, huh?
That's my goal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. As always, I've enjoyed this
yeah,
time
yeah,
with you.
I bet you have. Oh, at least it's memorable, huh?
That's,
nothing
that's
else.
True.
You,
it's
you know
memorable.
You've been here. Oh, if folks do have an interest, it's a state level is where they
yes,
go
yes.
to pursue things.
That's correct.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry
you guys
Christmas.
Staying in town, or are you going to
yes.
be heading
yeah,
out?
Yeah, no, we stay in town.
Oh, good.
Which is nice.
All right. Well, happy Marys.
Thank you. You too.
See everybody tomorrow.